This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Fantasy Six-Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bond and AJ Appleton.
Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Applegarth. Welcome back from your trip.
Thank you. Decided to dress up for the occasion, wear my nice fantasy. Fantasy Six Pack polo.
Down below me is below us is I can't. This is weird. Mr. Dap Scout.
How's it going, guys? Great to have you back, AJ.
Good. Thank you. Good to be back.
All right. So tonight we're going to be jumping into a fun topic where everybody, we're going to call ourselves out. What did we miss? What did we get wrong? Oops. Where did we suck this draft season? Why did we miss? Probably the important question from this point going forward is, do we see there being any sort of either turnaround if the player has performed poorly, or if they're performing well, do we see it continuing? Like, how do you deal with this information that we're going to give you here? So before we jump into all that, though, make sure you hit that subscribe button, that like button, wherever you follow or listen. Leave those 5-star reviews. We appreciate it. And of course, jump over to fantasysixpack.net, become an all-access member, where you get access to the award-winning rankings. You get access to all of us on Discord, where you get to ask your custom league questions. And we've got DFS projections. We've got DFS advice every day from Dave Eddy and Chris Robin and all that kind of good stuff. And then our football stuff is jumping out here soon, where we're going to have our draft cheat sheet, our rankings there as well. So jump on over there. Right now, we are offering a 2-week free trial to get access to all of that, so you don't have to pay a thing to just kind of go for a test drive there and see if you like it. We think you will. So, all right, guys, you ready to jump into this?
Absolutely.
Do it.
All right. So, first man up here, and I guess I should bring up the presentation. You know, I was apparently super ready for this. First man up on the what we missed. We've got to start there, right? Corbin Carroll, Arizona Diamondbacks. We've talked about him a few times this season, and it was always like, it's got to turn around. He's too good, right? It's got to turn. Yeah, I don't know anymore. It's not looking good. So what we've done here, for those of you watching, we've got the 2024 projections up, and he was projected to have 22 home runs, 101 runs, 45 stolen bases, hit for a good 278. A very, very good season. Maybe not as good as last season, but still a very, very good season, right? Off to a horrific start here. Just 2 home runs through... I don't know how many games we're at right now, but 2 months, basically, right? So 2 months, yep. He's got two home runs. He has only stolen 9 bases, and he's actually been caught 4 times. So, like, batting 192, just can't seem to kind of get it going here. Depp, I'll let you lead the way here, man.
Thanks.
What is the deal with Corbin Carroll? Like, why? What did we miss? Like, how did we miss that he was going to be quite this bad, along with everybody else, right?
I mean, yeah, I think so it was always there was the one thing that we were kind of talking about, but we kind of were, you know, putting it under the rug during our previews and all that stuff, was the fact that, you know, he got hurt and we're like, oh well, as long as he's over the injury, right? But, you know, he doesn't look like he's having any problems there whatsoever, blah blah blah. That was kind of our little snippet. Everything else, we were like, man, he's gonna play a full season, stolen bases, he could hit, you know, who knows, whatever, 90, you know. And we also were looking at the fact that he was injured, maybe his power numbers are gonna go up. There are so many things to be optimistic about. I am beyond confused at this time. There hasn't even been like a hot streak that I could hang my hat on and be like, yeah, there he was, you know, he just needed to tinker. There's been nothing positive that I've seen. And we've talked to multiple kind of people that cover the Diamondbacks and do different things. And yeah, they're really scratching their heads as well. I mean, is it a matter if he needs to, you know, be on the IL, where I put that in quotes, where, you know, if nothing's wrong with him, but he just needs like a breather for a while? Or I don't know. I mean, to even think about the fact that he might have to get sent down, he's terrible. Yeah. That's all there is to it.
And you found a pretty good tweet here, and I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to zoom in a little bit because otherwise it's going to be really hard to read on the screen here. But you brought up a good, you found a good tweet here. So you mentioned the injury, right? And so the shoulder injury that everybody talks about happened late June last year. I want to say like June 28th or something like that. So very late June. So this tweet from @MannyBNManny33, Corbin Carroll since July 1st, 2023, 135 games, 503 at-bats, 10 home runs, 52 RBI, 83 runs, and 38 stolen bases. Batting 241, 322, 376 slash line, just a 698 OPS. That's not great. That's not what we were paying, top 3-4 draft capital for this year?
I mean, people were arguing, you know, is that a first, you know, first overall? You know, it just was one of those things. What were you going to put them? Asturio Ruiz last year did 90, so he did 254 average. Okay, so slightly better than him. 47 runs scored, 47 RBIs, so right in that ballpark, and 47 runs scored. Well, he's with the A's, so I'm going to give that one a slide. I mean, we're looking at Asturio Ruiz numbers, and everybody, oof, you know, was talking about, you know, Ruiz, he drafted, or, you know, he should be your fourth outfielder. You're getting Asturio Ruiz for first round price right now. That's just crazy. There's got to be something wrong with him. That's my hope. He was too fun to watch. I think he has too much talent. I hope this isn't who he is.
I think one of the things that made me still consider him a top pick, and I knew some of the struggles because I had him last year in a league. Mm-hmm. I knew some of the struggles in the second half. You know, after the shoulder injury, he did struggle. He played well in the playoffs. I mean, he was fantastic.
Yep.
So you're like, oh, all right. Yep. He's good, right? I mean, AJ, you seem to be agreeing, right? I mean, that's what made me think, like, he's over this, right? It was just kind of like he figured it out. And then you give him a whole offseason to rest it and rehab it. He had to be fine. And he crushed in the spring.
Yeah. I mentioned it before a few weeks ago, you know, about him specifically in the playoffs against the Phillies, because that's when I paid way more attention to him. He wasn't running at first. I mean, none of the Diamondbacks really were, but then they realized, oh, well, we got to do this. And it started with him. Like, once he got that, you know, confidence back and stole the first base, like, he took off again. And that's part of what, you know, led to the Phillies' downfall in that series. And I agree. I thought that he was kind of out of it, like going into the playoffs, like, okay, he's past these issues now. You know, I wasn't fortunate enough to have any shares of him last year, but I still paid attention to him. I tried trading for him in a couple of leagues, did not happen. Even when he was on his downslope. And, you know, I think maybe this is who he is, or maybe, you know, the pitchers, you know, we talk about how he had a whole offseason to kind of figure things out and keep going and keep growing. Well, the pitchers have a whole offseason too to figure him out. And I feel like that's part of what we were seeing. But I just don't know. I don't know what is up with him right now. If this is like, you know, the true sophomore slump coming into play here, that's really what it looks like. And it's a shame because he is a talented player, and I, you know, I'm pulling for him, even though he's a Diamondback, but I'm pulling for him to turn it around because he's just too talented from what we saw from last year.
So I guess the question now is, if you have Corbin Carroll on your roster, like, what are you doing with him? No one's buying him at this point, right?
Right. So in season long, right, you got to hold on to him because he probably paid way too much. Can you cut him? Honestly, are we to the Corbin Carroll could be cut?
Tyler O'Neill, Chad. Oof. I don't know. It's like at some point, like, is it better to go grab somebody off the waiver wire and just not worry about this guy, like dragging down your batting average, not giving you any power, and he's not stealing bases? I mean, yeah, I know, like, as soon as you drop him, you're afraid he's going to, like, just go off.
That's it.
It's been two freaking months. Like, and we've seen nothing, no signs of life from him in 2 months.
All right. Well, let's take Corbin Carroll's name out your mouth for a second, Will Smith style. If you drafted somebody in the first round, how long do you wait before it's acceptable to drop?
Yeah, I mean, typically I don't. I mean, and I get
right.
it. I'm just saying, somebody actually drops him, I don't think I personally could. But if somebody does actually drop him, I really wouldn't be... I wouldn't go, oh my God. I mean, I think the shock value is, oh man, Corbin Carroll actually got dropped, but it wouldn't be like, oh, that was dumb. Right.
Well, would you pick him up?
I don't think I was for free. Yeah.
Yeah.
To replace the back end guy on my bench. Absolutely.
Exactly. And see, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, if you drop him, but I'm just flipping it for a second, right? If you drop him, you're saying that everything else on your roster is better than Corbin Carroll's upside.
Yeah.
But if Corbin Carroll gets dropped, I am picking him up like in 2 seconds just because for free. Why not?
I'm sitting on the number one waiver in my one league. So I'm just I'm like, who should I pick up? And it's of course, it's an ESPN league, my only ESPN league left. And I never really pay that much attention to who's already been being dropped because it's such a pain in the ass to find it now. I'm probably gonna miss something, or I already have, but I would pick him up in a heartbeat, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd take a chance. So let's move on to our next myth. And this one is more on me than anybody, but I'm gonna call myself out here, Mr. Gunnar Henderson. Look, I thought he was gonna be fine. Just fine. I mean, and the projections kind of backed me up on that. You know, 87 runs, 82 RBI, 26 home runs, 260 batting average. It was okay. He was going to like pick 32. I was like, for that.
You're
for
still like, numbers, that was overvalued. Yeah, I remember that.
You're still like, I wouldn't do it.
It wasn't top three pick numbers for me. Because I was skeptical of the power, and oh my god, as he proved me wrong, and then some. 19 bombs already. Every time I look at the Orioles box score, I look up Orioles highlights, it's like, oh, Gunnar Henderson led off with another home run. It's like, oh my gosh, okay. This make me look even more stupid. Great, thank you. Thank you, man. And go O's. I mean, batting average is spot on. 261, 264. Right there. He is destroying it and everything else. Already has 8 steals on the year. If he could get his batting average up, I mean, we're looking like, you know, him and Judge and Soto MVP leaders right now in the America League, man. So it's looking pretty damn good for Gunnar Henderson. I mean, look, I just basically didn't believe the power was real. Like, I always thought he was just kind of a mediocre power hitter. I know a lot of people believe the power was legit. And it was coming sooner rather than later. I wasn't one of those. Just nothing in his repertoire, you know, really screamed to me that he was going to be this kind of power hitter. And I don't know, like, to me, and I don't know if anybody else thought that, but it doesn't really matter. I guess, AJ, like, if you have Gunnar Henderson, do you just think he's going to continue to ride this hot streak and be this good the rest of the year? Or would you be willing to, like, sell high on him a little bit?
Me, personally, it'd be hard to sell high because of my O's fandom, but he has definitely exceeded my expectations as well. I thought, like you, he was going to be, you know, good, but he was overpriced. I don't see that right now because the power is crazy. The average is, like, the only projection that is somewhat in line right there. I mean, OBP is close, but it's still low.
OBS 948. Wow.
I mean, that's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. Like, he's going to be, I do feel like there's probably some regression built into this, you know, ready to come, but I don't think I'm selling him. I mean, I'd love to try to get him.
But Savant page, man, all the red. It's just, red's good if we want to remind everybody, right? It's, oh my goodness, like, so good.
These stupid grays, they're out of place.
Look at that spray chart, too. I mean, that's
crazy.
He literally hit it everywhere.
He just doesn't care. He's like, you know what? I haven't hit it to, like, mid left center in like 2 weeks. I think I'm just going to crash one there. And he can. Like, he just seems to have really crazy command of where he's hitting the balls, you know, and that's what you want. You know, that's what you want in a baseball player. Like, how many times are we watching games of our teams being like, come on, just get a damn hit. Just get a hit. Like, right there, there's a huge hole. Well, he seems to find these holes. And and it's just very impressive to watch. But I can see the power kind of slowing down. I don't remember off the top of my head if they've what their splits are right now. I know they're like 3 or 4 games
he's on pace
shorter than the Yankees right now.
Yeah, they are.
So that's like, they're going to have more games to catch up and whatnot too. But I don't recall if they've played more home away and what those splits are.
I don't know either.
Yeah. But I don't think it matters. I mean, dude's just raking right now. If you have someone in your league that's ready to, like, part ways, I would go for it.
You're going to have to get one hell of a package to mm-hmm. take him off my hands if I had him.
Yeah.
But I don't, because I was not in on him at all. So not his draft cost. So yikes.
So hold on a second. Before we get to the question, I have something for you guys.
I wasn't the only one. Chad, thank you.
Whatever makes you feel better about yourself, Joe. So here's my question is, first off, he's hit more home runs at home, 12, than he has away, 7, which is one of the reasons why we were kind of down on him, right? We're thinking. But the other part is, too, well, he only hit one home run against lefties, by the way. But right now, would you take, in Dynasty, because this is why I think this is crazy, Acuña or Henderson? Because this would have been a no-brainer. Like, that would have been a no-brainer.
That would have been an easy choice.
in the off season, but obviously now you have to, regardless of how you answer, you have to think about it.
Like, yeah. I still think I'm going like just one for one. I'm not worried about like team, just like one for if one. You're competing or not, just true value. It's still a Acuña for me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Even with the injuries and all that stuff, you're still going Acuña?
Yeah.
I'm out on Acuña. I think this latest injury is just another in a sequence, you know, for him. And it sucks because, again, super talented outfielder. But I feel like you can find outfield. Like, Gunner is at a more needy position.
Premium position, at this point.
That's my go-to. So,
yeah, I don't know where I don't know what I do. I'm just being honest. I don't know what I do. I think I'm still leading Acuña, but I don't know. But I just thought about that, and I'm thinking to myself, that was such an automatic the offseason. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I'm like,
it is definitely a lot closer. I'm still slightly leaning Acuña. But yeah, I mean, Gunner has made his case.
For sure.
It's one of those. It's tough. I think, Chad, you basically just said the word out of my mouth here. Gunner's lack of ceiling makes this really tough. So I think Acuña's ceiling is far and away higher than at this point.
Sure.
And so that's where the tiebreaker is for me. That's perfect. So we do have a question, though. I want to get to it. MP31 here on YouTube. Yennier Diaz or Francisco Alvarez?
Yeah, it's Diaz by mile.
Yeah, I'm going Diaz. Alvarez.
I mean, the Mets are a mess. And of course, that's going to affect runs and RBIs. And on top of that, though, I mean, even without that, I like all his other stats way better. He's a guy who also could go first base. So, there's just a lot of places for them to give him rest. He has by a mile. It's not even, now dynasty, different story. But right now, season long, Diaz all day long.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on here to the next guy we missed on. Dap, you have the floor here. Luis Gil.
Yeah, so Luis Gil, I mean, he was slated to be a spot starter until people got healthy at the Yankees rotation. And we're like, oh, and we even called that on the waiver wire show, right? We're like, oh, maybe 2-3 starts at most. And then he was putting up some numbers. We're like, ooh, those walks look bad. He's definitely going to regress any minute now. He's regressing. And that didn't happen and hasn't happened. I mean, yes, the walks are scary, 4.4. walks per nine, but who cares when you walk out, like when you strike out everybody and they're scared to stand in the batter's box because they don't know where the ball's going. I mean, 11 Ks per nine, give me a break. I mean,
I love this tweet that you found. I'm going to put it up here.
Yeah.
Best 12 game start by Yankee in the last 40 seasons. Luis Gil leading the way here.
Like, Michael Pineda, cheater. Smokes. Nestor Cortez, great mustache. Jimmy Key, don't even know who that is. Tanaka. Okay.
But, we do have a comment here, which is great, like Nestor 2.0. I mean, Nestor gets away with not having necessarily the stuff all the time, right? He gets it with, like, changing eye levels and all that stuff. Gil is just... I don't know. I don't know how he missed it with him. I mean, just it's crazy. Gills and Cy Young. I mean, we're talking top five Cy Young right now.
It really came down to this one. Really came down to he didn't have a locked in spot in the rotation. I mean, you said it. I mean, that's where the hesitation came from. Like, if we knew he was like the number three starter, he probably would have been picked up in a lot more places. He would have been drafted. You know, take pitchers all on the Yankees. You know, you expect wins a lot of times, right? You thought, you're right. As soon as they get healthy, he was gone. You know, I kind of wonder, like, the one thing I would say for him, right, is like how far is he gonna go? Does he have an innings limit? I don't know.
Yeah, I think we covered that too, right? He has an innings limit as well. I need to pull that up now.
So the most he's pitched in any major league season is 29, but he added 48, and so almost like 40-ish innings.
So it's only 70, so 20% is another, so roughly about 100. Yeah.
He's going to have a cap here. So honestly, he's the type of pitcher where like you might be wanting to move off with him. I know he's legit, but he's going to get capped in innings here at this point. I have no doubt about it. I don't know how he doesn't.
I can't imagine that. I would think the Yankees would want to try to, try to limit him like throughout the summer a little bit, maybe skip a start here or there, like something like that, because they're going to need him for the playoffs if they're going to maintain, you know, what they've done so far as one of the top two teams in baseball.
They're getting back in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, sorry to break in on there, AJ, but there's a great quote here by Aaron Boone, right? So they are saying 69.1 innings right now, coming off essentially two lost seasons because of Tommy John surgery. Aaron Boone said that the structure of Gill's workload is kind of play it by ear, but there's no strict limits as there were once upon a time with Jabba Chamberlain. I don't agree. I mean, like you said, I think after the All-Star break, it's going to be super dicey, but who the hell knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was Chad here. You know, they could easily go to a six-man rotation with Cole back. I get that, and it's very possible. You know, just keep these guys healthy. Cole's coming back from the injury, so you know, kind of ease him in. Don't try to push him too hard. It would probably make sense, and it would extend Gill's time as a starter. You just gotta wonder. Like, I mean, he's already 70 innings. His most is like 80 to 100. So he's going to go another like 50 or 60. So he's got another like 12 starts. I mean, that's going to get him to like, what do we think? That's August.
Yep.
If he stays on around the same pace, that's going to hurt toward the end of the season for somebody who's got Gill. And I mean, maybe you just ride it, right? Cause you know, you're not going to get the stats from him if you think he's going to continue at this pace. You just ride it until it just ends.
If you're,
you
know, don't well, somebody that's, else that that's it. Well, that's the thing, right? If you're in season long, you just ride it until the wheels fall off. Because honestly, if you drop him, like, oh, it's going to happen.
Trade, right? But
right.
I think it's different in like a rotisserie league.
Yeah.
I think you just ride it.
Yep.
Innings fall off. Like, oh, well, I got all those innings and you didn't. Ha ha. Right. In like a head to head league where you're going into like playoffs.
Yeah.
That might be one where I'd be looking to trade and get something because, yes, you need to make the playoffs, but you want to be there with somebody like a Gill, and you probably won't have a Luis Gill in the playoffs for your fantasy league because he will get capped. So, AJ, I muted you for a second, so I think we're sounding better. But
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Let's move on here. Next guy up. Shota Imanga. I butchered that. I'm sorry. But yeah, we all were excited about Yamamoto, and he's sort of got forgotten. And we were wrong. He's been the better of the two so far. So projections were mediocre at best for him. You know, like 4.25 ERA, you know, 500 record, strikeouts weren't like crazy high or nothing, you know, basically not, you know, 9, which is kind of where he's at, but
right.
And a 1.88 ERA, a 1.04 whip. I mean, just not walking hardly anybody. This guy is pitching lights out. Was it just, we just had blinders on because everybody was so excited about Yamamoto and the huge contract and he went to the Dodgers and, or what, like, how did we miss? I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. That's kind of what it was with me. I was just kind of like, eh, whatever. Like, he's the other guy.
So I went to the tape actually when we did the manga. I'm gonna say Shota, okay. We went to the tape and I said, hey, this guy's interesting. However, you know, does he have better stuff than his countryman who went to the Dodgers? And more importantly, does he have strikeout stuff? That was the part that I couldn't see anywhere. And I didn't think he was going to bring this, you know, 9.4 Ks per nine. I didn't think that was possible. But I, you know, he was interesting, but everything we read, it was like, you know, how's he going to get big league hitters out and, you know, all that stuff. This is crazy. I mean, in my wildest dreams, I was going to say 7 Ks per nine, maybe 8, but 9? I mean, he's overpowering hitters. It's disgusting. It's so he's a big bully. He's mean. He needs to be put, you know, on a higher difficulty mode. I completely whiffed on him. And the reason why I was rubbing my eyes is because 3 different drafts, I was like, oh, you know, I have a chance to get him. Yeah, I'll go with somebody else. And this is like, you know, round 9 or 8 or whatever. And if I had him right now, oh my God, I'd be so much better off than some of those leagues that I was.
Oh yeah, considering pitching died this year for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. But I visually can pick the time I had a chance to pick him right before he went. And each time I decided not to go with him.
Yeah. I mean, he was not on the radar for me in pretty much any draft. When his ADP was called up, he was nowhere near the top of my board. And so I never pulled the trigger. I mean, that's pretty much that. The projections do the talking for me on him because I really didn't know much about him. And you know, that's just perfectly honest. You know, I need to look into these pitchers that are coming over a little bit closer. That's a huge lesson learned from me, is really dive into these guys. It's hard though. There's just not a lot. And, you know, I think I remember like when we talked big on the Yamamoto and like, is he worth that? Like, I mean, like SP 7 or 6,
right.
You know, off the board. And I just remember looking at some of like the pitchers that have come over and like the best season ever. And I remember we got called out like, oh, you know, you, you had to go all the way back. And so, like, yeah, that was kind of the point, right? The fact that, like, it hasn't happened in 20 years. We haven't had a good enough season to be worth a top 10 starting pitcher pick in 20 years, right? And, you know, and so, like, that was.
I remember that now. It
doesn't happen very often. And so, yeah, Yamamoto isn't quite, he's doing just fine, by the way, but like he still isn't worth a top 10 SP pick, you know, starting pitcher pick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But Shota was. Who knew?
I missed out on him as well. And I kind of had blinders on. I tried to force myself into thinking this isn't showy. Like, it's not the next Otani. It's, you know, just chill down. Like, you don't need to go after this guy. There's only one Otani. And yeah, Yamamoto's great too, but he's on, you know, on the Dodgers, he's going to get picked. So, and he went, and I was like, all right, well, I missed the next showy. And then I just totally forgot about Shota. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whoops.
Pretty much. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm just along for the ride with him. I'm not worried about trading him. I'm not into anything with him. Like, just keep it. I don't see any reason why it's gonna drop off, honestly. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I don't see where it's gonna drop off. But at the same time, too, you know, hitters are going to get more tape on him. He's getting more and more tape. And, you know, I'm gonna be really interested to see what happens after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, he's not gonna finish the season with a 1.88 ERA. Like,
oh, that's no.
Insane.
But, well, let's, you know, well, hold on.
Even if he finishes with a 2.5, you know, it's still gonna be really good.
Still really good. Okay,
Mike, I want you to take that sound bite. He's not gonna finish. I just, because it's gonna be interesting to me if he just absolutely destroys it.
Gonna finish with a 1.5.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 1.88.
He was right.
Let's move on here.
Yeah.
AJ, I'm afraid to put this guy up on the board because I think we'll never end the show, but
probably not.
Ranger Suarez, the best pitcher for
that's
the Phillies.
Like, I'm gonna leave for a bit. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Better than Wheeler and better than Aaron Nola, although I'm not shocked about that one. We all know my hatred for Aaron Nola.
Question of the Suarez day, part one. Been
incredible.
Question of the day, part one. Which Phillies player do you hate more, Shane Victorino or Aaron Nola?
You should also hate Shane Victorino, AJ.
That was a hard series for me to take.
Yeah, yes and no. For those of you who don't know the story, I'll tell it really quick. So first year we played in the Fantasy Six Pack, like we call it the OG league now. Back in 2016,
at least,
I had my 2013,
no, it was
because it was the birth of my daughter.
1997. Go ahead.
I didn't know. You know, I didn't know how my time management was going to be. So I was like, AJ, we're going to start this league, but I need a co manager because I didn't know if I was going to be able to like pay attention. No clue, right? So we're co-managing this team. We're absolutely destroying the league that year. First seed by a mile. We get into the playoffs, semifinals. We go against one of my coworkers, and he's loaded in pitching, but his batting sucks. So I'm like, we got this. Like, we're good all around.
Yeah.
He picks up Shane Victorino like 2 weeks before that. It's a two-week final. It's a two-week playoff head-to-head matchup. Shane Victorino went off for like six home runs, like 20 RBI. 15 runs, like four stolen bases, and like a 450 average. That like I'm not even. I don't even think I'm exaggerating that, AJ. Like no, I really think that's like close.
It's pretty close.
I did the math. It was in 2 weeks against us. He put up 1/3 of his complete season stats that season against us, and so forever. It's like it's just a running joke that I now hate Shane Victorino. So yeah.
Well, AJ, before you get into this love fest, I just want to understand this real quick. He had a 4.18 ERA last year. 4.6. I mean, were you really expecting this? I mean, I'm asking. I know you're a Phillies lover.
The big like bugaboo about it was that Rangers never really had a full offseason or
a full spring training or like both. And that was always the knock, that he was always coming into the season, you know, with some sort of injury or, you know, something was going on. And, you know, he never really got to participate in a full, you know, off season and spring training. And this was the first year that he did. You know, the Suarez just, he, the best word that I can think of is unflappable, because it's a fun word to say, and it fits. Be like, you cannot shake this guy on the mound. Like, he could give up a grand slam and just be like, eh, okay, whatever. And then just go back and like strike out the rest of the game, you know, like everybody that's up. Like, he's just so calm, cool, collected out there. I mean, and even when he was injured a couple weeks ago on that comebacker, hit him in the wrist, he like took a minute to be like, ah, like do his best Peter Griffin impression on the mound, still goes, picks the ball up and throws the guy out. Like, I mean, it was kind of like an air ball over to Harper, but then he's like, oh yeah, okay, I guess I'm hurt, let me go back to this for a second. And then he comes out of the game, and like, that sucked, because I have a ton of shares of Suarez. That was my main go-to for this year, because I knew I wasn't going to get Wheeler unless I drafted him in the first or early second. Nola I've got in a couple places too, and kind of had to reach on him because they're homer leagues. So I just wanted to get more shares of Suarez, knowing that he finally had the chance to put it all together. I did not expect this to be what happens when he puts it all together. Well,
I will say, like, he's had this, like, you know, I remember after 2021, like, he was kind of a big deal in 2022, and because he was coming off, like, they put him in as a starter that year for a little bit.
And yeah,
he had a 1.5 ERA that season. Like, he was really, really good. It was like, and then when he was like the full time starter, it was like, oh. Just kidding. He was just a flash in the pan. So everybody was off on him, right? And now, you know, we're looking at this, right? You know, the Phillies 1-2-3 starting pitching trio. Makes me want to puke.
Nola's sitting there at a 3.03, and it's like, okay, like, I'll take that any day, like, for most pitchers. Yeah. And this is kind of where I was, you know, looking at our original topic that I came up with tonight, or not original, but one of the thoughts, and it was like a complete homer show. I didn't know how it was going to go, but just based
AJ
on
to have a whole show about the Phillies pitching staff, just
well,
you,
not, so, mostly, but not all of them.
I'm going to be sick that day. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to be on StreamYard by myself. It's not even not even going to be aired. It's just going to be me talking in a room. thinking that I'm on a show, but
when you typically see somebody make these kind of improvements, it's because they, you know, they get a third pitch, because typically that third time through the rotation. But Suarez has always thrown everything. He has, you know, five pitches. He doesn't throw any one of them more than a third of the time. Typically, you know, he's had a huge arsenal. I mean, did he just figure it out? I don't know.
You selling high on him, Dap? AJ, you don't count. I'm not letting you answer. Are you selling high on him, Dap?
No, because pitching sucks so bad right now.
Yeah, right. Like, I hear you.
I mean, it's just a situation, and he's so good right now.
It's so hard to replace somebody who's performing like this in your pitching
staff.
Right. Even if he's like craters the rest of the way, like, you're going, well, oh well.
Yeah.
I mean, even if he does league average, Like, where are you going to get that from? Like, and he's,
it's hard.
Yeah. It's hard. So that tweet that you just put up was, and it's not even old, it's from yesterday, but Nola started yesterday, and he's now actually at a 277 and is 8-2 in 84 and a third innings pitched. So looking back at the, you know, we already talked about Shota, you know, we've kind of touched on Wheeler, but like the AL pitchers, you know, Gill, you know, you're looking at Seth Lugo sitting at a 213, and he's fourth in the AL. The National
85 years old.
Yeah. the National League pitchers, four of the top six are Phillies. We're not even talking about Christopher Sanchez in this tweet, and he's sitting there ahead of Nola at 271. Granted, he's 3-3.
And Turnbull should be up in there, but they put him back in the pen. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he would have been if he would have qualified for it at this point, but he's not.
Like, I don't know.
It's because they're freaking paying stupid Taiwan Walker too much damn money. but he's not even – I mean, Taiwan's probably the sixth best starting pitcher on this team, if that. So, yeah, I did not expect this. We can end the love fest as Dap had put it.
But thank God. Oh, sorry.
Division, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
Mackenzie Gore. Once highly touted prospect. Now with the Nationals. Projections were not kind to him. And rightfully so. I mean, the guy's just been league average at best.
Way to be quiet about it, AJ. Wait to. I
love how this. I know he's hiding behind the camera.
That's my new Bermuda.
He's really come Goosey. Around. I mean, the whip is a little high at 1.36, yep. But he's had some really good games lately too. So that's, what, Deb? What's your kind of take on him?
Right.
This year and you know the rest of the year, right?
So this is easy for me because I talked about him in the waiver wire show last week. So I could, the thing about him, right, is that he had huge K numbers, especially in the first couple of years when he was top pick, third overall, and he was striking out 14 Ks per nine, 10 Ks per nine, 12 Ks per nine, and his walk started creeping up. It was like 2.95, which is fine if you're striking out 14 people. Then I went to 3. And then in 2021, it went up to 7. And we're like, wait. Because he got injured in 2020, right? And in 2021, he starts, okay. So double A, 16 Ks per nine, then 8, walked for nine. Ooh. Then he gets to triple A, he gets completely exposed, right? He does only 8 Ks and 5 walks per nine. And so we're like, okay, this guy doesn't have any control. And then he gets traded in that CJ deal to the Nationals, along with the man who later would not sign a long-term pick with the Padres, with Soto, and he started to still look crappy because he was he went to Washington, he got went to 10 Ks per nine, and then he was like high threes, he was almost 4 this year. He kind of continued. He's really found himself. He's like Luis Gil. He's really kind of figured out, like, hey, I can still strike out a ton of people, and I'm going to somewhat be around 3 Ks per nine, but he's not giving up that homer. He's below 1 homer per nine innings.
3 walks per nine, you mean?
No, just 1 homer per nine.
You said Ks per nine.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Make sure.
Three walks per nine. My apologies. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I apologize. Okay. I don't know how sustainable this is, but if you're not giving up the home run balls, which was a big Achilles heel for him, his XERA is only 0.2, like a quarter of a run higher. I love everything about what I'm seeing here. I don't trust it. one of those.
I mean, the whip being kind of high again is sort of like, he has these like really nasty blow up games, and he had one just a couple of days ago against the Mets of all teams. I mean, he goes on these hot streaks, man, where it's like, oh man, this is good. And then boom, 600 runs against the Mets. You're like, never mind.
And 4 walks and 4 innings.
He's got it in him to be able to pull out these, 6-7 inning games, 1 earned run, and 8 Ks, like he did against Seattle just a couple weeks ago. Like that is definitely in the realm of possibilities for him.
Right.
I think he's rosterable in a lot of leagues.
And
I think against, your much tougher offenses, I would sit him. If he gets blown up by the Mets, that's not an offense I'm scared about, but it happens with pitchers like that.
Nor should you be.
Not the elite yet.
Yeah.
So,
Joe, you don't have a Fangraphs page up or anything, do you? No, I don't want you to have it.
Fangraphs?
I do. Or just whatever. You don't have. Do you have his details page up at all?
No.
I just want to make sure you don't, because I'm going to ask you a question.
Give me a game log.
All right, good, good. How old do you think Mackenzie Gore is?
He's in his, what, third season in the majors, but he was in the minors for a while. I do know that.
And he got injured 3 times.
I'm going to go 26.
Really? I was thinking 28. Yeah, it's 25. So you
I was going to say 26 too.
Because you forget he's, you know, you forget he was drafted out of high school.
Yeah.
And
that's what
so,
I was thinking was the high school.
Yeah, 25 years and 3 months. So it's not even close to 26 yet. He's still got a ways to go.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, you can definitely still turn around. He's got all the talent in the world, but you got to watch those walks because, you know, four walks in four innings against major league hitters is not going to work. I don't care how cruddy the team is. Even the A's could beat you at that.
Let's jump back to the AL, and this was one that, I mean, he wasn't a huge draft target for me, but I think the situation has drastically changed for Cedric Mullins.
Right.
You know, projections did like him. I'll be honest with you, a 20 home run, 28 stolen base guy. He honestly, it's weird because he could still get there, but. Right. He's now, unfortunately, finding himself sitting a lot of games. The Orioles are starting to pull up some of their prospects, and so they're platooning. And when you're batting 178, which is what he currently is doing, you're going to sit a bunch. But, I mean, 6 home runs, 12 stolen bases, he gets on a little hot streak. You know, you could get those counting stats, but the rest of it's sort of just not really there for him this year. I don't even know. Like, I don't have him anywhere. I don't like if he was honestly, if he was sitting on the waiver wire, I don't know what I would do with him. I'd look at him and be like, I mean, it's a slightly better Corbin Carroll. Do I care? Without the upside?
Is this what I need? Yeah,
slightly better Corbin Carroll without the massive ceiling of Corbin Carroll, right? Am I wrong?
No, sadly, no. I mean sadly in multiple ways there. Mullins was a guy that, you know, I had looked at as a potential keeper in a couple of leagues, and I couldn't do it. I had to throw him back because last year was okay. Hey, but it wasn't enough for me to want to see what he had. And, you know, it was hard, A, for fandom, B, because he's in such a good lineup. But this is what, you know, what the worry is with him is just all of these prospects. I knew at some point someone's going to lose their job. And when you're hitting 178, like you said, that's not really a ringing endorsement for you should be on the lineup
he's
card
only
every day.
Played twice in the last 6 games.
Yeah.
Wow. So
it's brutal.
Austin Hayes more than him right now. It's. Mm-hmm.
I think. Direction. Yeah, like you're still going to be able to get some of these counting stats, like you said. You know, maybe on a day that he plays, he's gonna get a homer, but I don't know, like really the only thing I would be counting on from him is a steal or two, like that's about it. But he's not a guy I want to roster because of the inconsistency with playing time right now, and without actually keeping him in the lineup, I'm not sure how he's going to turn it around and get the opportunity, enough opportunity to really crank that batting average up and prove that he's still a viable, you know, talent for this team. They just have so much talent as it is that, you know, it's an easy bench.
Yeah, I had called that they were going to trade him this year because he seemed like the guy that was making too much money and, you know, they probably want to get a young guy in there. But I thought they're going to trade him for assets, not try to get rid of him because he's terrible.
Yeah,
I didn't expect this kind of drop off, and I don't know. I think he's still kind of in a bench, maybe for if his playing time picks up a little bit. Guess
this is one way to get on to stay in the lineup. Just hurt your players. Hurt your
yeah.
Team.
So I think or this is.
Say, oh, I had to exit today after Cedric.
Yeah. So
accidentally hit him with the bat.
So we talk
was
about
it an accident. Was it an accident?
We talk about him not getting hits, and he's getting some big hits here. Yeah. Off the thing, so
off of Mateo's face.
Oh my goodness!
With the Louisville slugger right. Say to the face.
We're gonna finish things off here with, and I'm gonna lump them together. I don't have the slides together because it was too much information. But Marcell Ozuna and his teammate Matt Olson.
Hmm.
Needless to say, Matt Olson was drafted much higher than Marcell Ozuna. You know, we knew Ozuna had power, but it was, I mean, it's Marcell Ozuna, right? So you didn't quite know what you were getting with batting average. Was he going to play enough to, like, really be a good player to roster in fantasy? There was no speed, but the guy is smashing the ball right now, 17 home runs. A 309 batting average. So there with that logic that, you know, he can't hit for average, right?
Right.
53 RBI right now. Just insane numbers. And then the guy who led the National League in home runs last year, Matt Olson, was projected for 40, only has 9. And he's batting .234. So he's doing... Yep. Kind of what we thought Ozuna would do, maybe with even just a little less power. How did we get this one wrong, Dap?
I mean, I think some of it was, I don't know. I think, well, first off, we wanted to be part of the Braves offense. We expected that to take off. And Olson, well, for me, everybody who's in Oakland A that ends up on the Braves ends up, you know, just being amazing. So I thought for sure. But maybe we missed some of the, you know, age-related issues, some injuries, and some of that stuff started to stack up because this is a huge drop-off from what we saw last year. I mean, other than digging deep under the whole hood and looking at exit velocities and launch angles and stuff like that, I didn't see much last year that I didn't like about owning Olson for this year. So to me, again, I was expecting a veteran who could do a lot of different things in that veteran lineup who could then, of course, you know, go over some of these bad streaks. I don't know. I honestly, even fair, looking at it now, it blows my mind. Sorry, go ahead.
The entire Atlanta offense is not as good as last year. Like you know, they had the highest WRC plus at 125 last year. Right now they're sitting at 104, their 11th home runs, they're 16th, tied for 16th with the Cubs at 61. Last year they had 307. They led the league in home runs by almost 60 home runs. It was 58 home runs over the next best team. It's incredible. So yeah, it just, this whole offense sort of has a hangover from last year. And, you know, just it, you know, and now you mix in the Acuna injury, not that he was doing, you know, great things this year, honestly. It's just, I don't know. I mean, honestly, Ozuna is really the one offensive player on that team that you can sort of count on, which is weird to say.
Super weird.
Yeah, it's I was I was trying to get Olson in a couple of drafts. I had him last year on a few teams, was like blown away, and just wanted more of that. Like it was that recency bias setting in, and I am glad that I do not have him right now. I do on one, maybe two, but not anywhere near as many as I wanted, but you know, he's just a dead spot. And, you know, looking at the position in general, you know, average. Okay. Whatever, you know, I it was between him and like Pete Alonso in a couple of drafts. And I went
playing well.
No, he is not. He is right there with him. You know, they're like 4 points separating for average, you know, right around the same for homers and whatnot. I mean, Alonso's been a little better, I feel like, but not much. It's just so down. And you're looking at guys like, okay, Vlad, you figured it was going to be good, but he was drafted way later. Ryan Mountcastle, again, you know, sucking the T to the O's here has been awesome. Harper has been awesome. Christian Walker's been good. Freeman, yeah, you knew was going to be good. Sal Perez, okay, you know, he's like crushing it again. So there's so many different options you could have gotten after a Matt Olson, and Ozuna's one of them. I mean, the biggest knock on him is because he's only DH eligible, so you're not really targeting him in many times, you know, or many drafts. At least I wasn't. He wasn't even on my radar. I was just like, no. I get the team is good, this and that, but I just didn't have any faith in him at all. And I mean, I feel like I was kind of wrong. Like, I don't know if I feel like it's going to carry the rest of the season, but at this point, I mean, we're into June. He's still doing it. If he keeps his average up and he keeps hitting.
He had those couple of years, man, where it was just bad. You know,
yeah,
batting average was dropping like a rock, and you're like, all right, whatever. Then last year was kind of a bounce back, and you're like, I mean, do we believe it? But you're right. When he came into the season with DH-only eligibility, that really kind of threw him off my radar. I wasn't super interested. He seemed expendable on that team that, you know, could go a bunch of different ways. And then he just came out mashing. You know, I don't want to get into it, but, like, honestly, another guy we didn't mention on this team who's probably even worse as far as draft value is Austin Riley. I mean, talk about horrible. Oof.
I have him on too many teams.
I mean, he was always – every single year it was like, I don't know if I believe it. Oh, I don't know if I believe it. He'll be fine, but, like, I don't know if I believe it. This year it was like, all right, I'm in. Let's do it.
That's exactly what it was.
Done
I was
it too
like,
many years in a row, and then it's like –
giddy up. Oh, man.
I suck. Just kidding, guys.
Yeah.
Pulled the rug out from under.
I told you guys. I told you this would happen.
Yeah. So that is it for the what did we miss. It's fun. It's fun to, I guess, make fun of ourselves a little bit. But
fun to reminisce.
It humbles us. We know we're not perfect. But aren't we? All right. So that's it for part one of this week's episode of the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. I want to thank you for listening. Make sure you hit that follow button. Leave those 5-star reviews. We appreciate it. And make sure you tune in for the next part. Thank you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.